Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning with grateful hearts. Grateful for how you've provided for us. Grateful for the work that you've done in each one of our lives. Lord, as we prepare to enter into worship this morning, may we do so with our hands lifted high. May we do so with our hearts tuned to you, that we may hear what you have for us to hear, that we may find strength and peace inside of you. Father, we thank you for our first responders. We thank you for each one of the people that are willing to do what many are not willing to do, and who paid with their life. Lord, I ask that we just keep focused on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Anxiety, everything in between. Father, we know there's so many people in our world that don't know you, that need you. And Lord, we just hand them over to you at this time. Father, we lift them up by name. Not just once, but each and every day. Lord, we know that you are the God of miracles. You're the one that can soften even the hardest of hearts. And Father, we just lift these people to you. Father, may we find our strength in you. May we find our wisdom in you. May we be willing to humble ourselves to you. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Fights for You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship
you. Let's do that again. You are here.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you.
You're working, you never
never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. That is who you are. Who you are, that is 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 who you are. You are way me. Darkness, my God, that is who you are. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you. When my eyes can't see,
just say thank you that we can come before you this morning and lay everything at your feet. And we can just say, it is well. Father, you are so good to us. You're always there for us. Even when we're going through the junk of this life, you're carrying us through it. Because you are so good. And so, Father, we just say, it is well. Amen and amen. You guys can be seated.
Well, good morning, church. Who's excited to be here this morning? Yeah, that's what I like to hear. I want to welcome everybody here this morning. I also want to welcome those that are our guests and those joining us online and the radio. We're thankful for each and every one of you. But before we get going into our message this morning, let us take some time to go to the Lord in prayer. So let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, I thank you for each person that is here. I thank you for the opportunity we have to freely come and to worship you. And Lord, I pray this morning that it's your words that are spoken. Father, I pray that if I say anything that is not of you, that it may fall on deaf ears. Lord, I just pray that I get out of your way and allow you to speak what you need to speak. Father, may we all hear what we need to hear. May we grow in relationship. May we seek you in all that we do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this morning, we're actually going to be finishing up Mark chapter 8, where we've been hanging at for the last couple weeks. And we're going to pick up where we left off last week. We're going to be in 22 to 38 this morning. And if you remember from the text last week, Jesus was interacting with both the Pharisees and his disciples. And both of them were accused of having hardened hearts. But they were different forms of hardened hearts. The Pharisees, their hardened hearts were to the point that they didn't want to acknowledge who Jesus was. You know, as soon as Jesus got to Dalmanutha, the Pharisees came out swinging and they were looking for a way to lead Jesus into a trap and demanding a sign from him to back up who he says he was. What's interesting, though, is that they had already seen Jesus do all these things. They'd heard him speak. They'd heard the way he engaged everybody. They had all the evidence and everything they needed. But see, they wanted a reason to dislike him. They wanted a reason to discredit him. And no matter what Jesus would have done, they were looking for a reason to not believe. They were looking for a reason to support their unbelief. You see, it doesn't matter what Jesus said or did. They weren't going to believe anyways. The cost was too high for them. What they would have to give up in life was too high. On the other hand, we had the disciples, and they had hardened hearts as well, but their hardened hearts were not the same kind. They were talking about more so due to a lack of understanding. The hearts were still learning to discover who Jesus was. And when Jesus began to warn the disciples about false teachers and the impact they could have on the world around them, they didn't understand what Jesus was speaking about. You see, in their metaphor that Jesus was using, he said, "Watch out for the leaven of the Pharisee and the leaven of Herod." And the disciples thought Jesus was speaking about bread. But Jesus was warning the disciples on how easily false teachers and false teaching can spread. That it just takes a little bit to affect the whole body. And we were reminded in the text that there's a lot of teachers and leaders that will tell people what they want to hear instead of what the scriptures say. They become more concerned what the world around them thinks about them and what the world around them wants to hear than they are what Jesus thinks about them and how God looks at them. We were reminded towards the end of the passage last week that we're not called to look to religion, we're not called to look to this world, but we're called to look to Jesus and a relationship with him, remembering that he is the one that always provides for us. He's the one who knows our steps and goes before us. And we're called to look back on how God has transformed our lives and how he's taken care of us, even when we weren't with him to begin with. You know, we were talking about transformation, and transformation that we often talk about on how, you know, we often talk about how God transforms our lives from the inside out, that it's a lifelong process. And it starts with us making Jesus Lord of our lives. That process of being transformed requires us of handing our lives over to him. Understanding what Paul wrote when he said, "It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me." And after we've done that, God starts to refine us. He begins to do a new work in us. And it's not always easy for us as believers, especially not easy for us as Americans, where we like to have things our way and we want it our way and we want it now, don't we? You know, how many of us pay to make sure that we get our shipping to our house within 2 days because we don't have the patience to wait any longer? Did you know you can still get free shipping on Amazon without Prime? It just takes a few extra days. Anybody aware of that? And yet we pay to make sure that we get our items sooner, don't we? I'm guilty. I'm very guilty of that. Because this idea of waiting, this idea of going through a process is not something that we enjoy. And with that waiting period and that walking with Jesus and allowing him to transform us from the inside out, and that things aren't going at the speed and how we want it to at that moment, often does something within us where we start getting disgruntled with Christ. We start getting upset with him because we want things done in our time and our way. We don't like to use patience. We want to be able to say one prayer, have God hear our prayer, answer it exactly as we have asked for it, and we want it to happen now. Lord, I just prayed 30 seconds ago. Why is this not working? Right? That's how we often like to look at God. It's like that genie in a bottle effect. And here's the thing. God does hear us. And he knows what we're asking for. But there's one thing I've learned in my walk with God is that he often answers us in three ways. He says yes to our prayers, he says no to our prayers, and he says not yet to our prayers. It doesn't mean that it won't happen, but there's a process at times that we have to go through. You know, I want you to think about for a moment, how many of you have ever decided to build a home? I've gone through this process of building a home. Let's say you decide to build a home, and you know exactly what you want it to look like. You've got the layout, you've even got the paint stuff picked out. You may, for those of you who are like this is not me, I can't do this. You've got the furniture planned out, you've got what the wall trimmings are gonna be, you know what painting is gonna hang above the fireplace. I mean, you've got it all planned out before you even hired the architect to come up with the design, okay? There are people like that. My imagination doesn't work that way. But that's the thing. We get this all laid out. Then what do? You got to hire an architect, right? He draws up the plan. He puts everything together. And you've got this image, and you're ready to move in next week. But you know, you can't do that. What's the next step you got to do? You got to go hire a contractor who has the footers put in and starts having the framing of the house put up. And it's this process that you got to go through to lay the foundations to put it all. And then you can't move in just yet. You can't start painting the walls just yet, can you? As much as you'd want to, but if you did, what would happen? All your furniture, all your belongings, and everything would be destroyed. There's no roof on the house yet. You've got your framing there, but you don't have the rest put into place. It just doesn't work. So we trust the process, understanding that it takes time to build that house. It takes time to put everything in order. And at the end, oftentimes it'll turn out more beautiful than anything you ever imagined because you took the time to go through the process. But if you rush it, if you don't allow the foundation to be set, then it all gets destroyed. If we try to rush that hand, it's kind of like farming. How many of you guys go out, plant your seed, and then that evening go back out and harvest the crop? Anybody? I know on Farming Simulator, I can speed up time real quick. And I mean, I can be, within an hour, I can be going through. Sorry. That's my nerd alert. That's a game I like to play. So within an hour, I can plant and harvest my field on the game. So, but apparently it doesn't work like that in real life, does it? I think many of us understand that process. And that same process can be said about our growth in Christ. That it takes time, that it takes time to go through the process, to lay the foundations. It starts with accepting Jesus, but allowing to go through to become where he wants us to be. You know, the disciples had just a little bit of understanding of who Jesus was. And as time progressed, they got a little bit more of his understanding. They went through a process to learn what it means to be a follower of Christ. Sometimes they were slow to learn, and sometimes they picked things up quicker. But the entire time, it was a process to get them to where Jesus wanted them, where they were able to go out and be that hands and feet of Jesus after he went back to heaven, where they were able to go out and start the early churches, and they were able to minister to others. It went through a process. And that same thing applies to us. Jesus understands where each one of us are at in our process of becoming more like him. He understands where we're at, whether the foundations have been set, whether we're ready for the next round. And I know if you've said yes to him, he knows that you're a Christian as well. He knows whether your faith is deep or whether it's shallow or whether you're just dipping your toes in the water. It takes time to take us along to understand. I remember when I first came to Christ, I didn't understand everything. I heard a lot of crazy big $10 words and everything else, and I'm trying to understand what are they trying to say. And it was a process to get me to where I am today, and it's far from over. It's still a process I'm walking through, and I'll walk through it until my very last breath. But it's through that process where we gain that deeper understanding of who God is. And throughout our text today, we see Jesus showing how our faith can be a process. So let's take a look at verse 22 this morning. And it says, and they came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. As it often happened when Jesus entered a new area, they would bring their blind, their lame, and their sick to Jesus with hope that he would restore them, hope that he would heal them. And the people understood that Jesus was the only one that could do this. It's the same thing that we're called to do. This is why we have the My Three. This is why when somebody is sick or not feeling well, and if they ask, we bring them up front and we have the elders lay hands on them and we pray for them and we anoint them with oil. It's because what we're doing is we're handing them over to Jesus and saying, you're the one who can take care of this. We're trusting in him inside of that moment. And that's what the people were doing here, is they were bringing their people to Jesus and they brought this blind man to him. And it tells us in verse 23 that he took the blind man by the hand and he brought him out of the village, and spitting on his eyes and laying his hands on him, he asked him, do you see anything yet? You see, Jesus took the blind man out of the village out of concern for him. You see, the village would have been busy, noisy, and full of distractions and would have kept the blind man from being able to stay focused on Jesus, just the same way as he removes us at times from our distractions so that we can focus in on who Christ is in our lives. And we see Jesus again touching and speaking to the man in a way that the man would understand. And what was interesting about this particular miracle, though, is when we look, it's the way the man responded when Jesus said, do you see anything? In verse 24, he says, he looked up and said, I see people. They look like trees walking. His vision started to come to him. This would have been a blind man since birth. And he was suddenly able to see bits and pieces of the world around him. But what was interesting is that this was not an instantaneous healing as we had often seen Jesus do. And this comes back to what I've been talking about this morning, about how our faith goes in stages. This man's healing was also being done in stages. Jesus was using this as a teaching opportunity for his disciples to understand that sometimes our faith takes time to fully develop and understand what God is doing. But Jesus didn't just stop at that moment and go, okay, that's enough sight for you. He didn't just say, well, at least you can kind of see glimpses. He said, no, we're going to continue. So he says in verse 25, he says, again, Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes, and the man looked intently, and his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. In the 26, then he said to him, saying, don't even go into the village. Here we see Jesus not giving up on the man just because his sight was not fully restored right away. Instead, Jesus stayed persistent with this man. He kept pushing in, and he laid his hands on him once again. Jesus was using that moment as a teaching moment for his disciples and for us. Sometimes to fully see what God is doing is going to take more than one moment. To understand what God is trying to work inside of your life is going to take more than just a 30-second time of prayer. It can be a process. And just because we don't see clearly right away on what's going on doesn't mean that in time we won't be able to see it. We have to trust him. Remembering Philippians 1:6 says, I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Remembering when we turn something over to Jesus, he's going to carry it all the way to the end. We may not see the end right away. We may not understand the process, but we can trust that Jesus is going to carry us no matter what circumstances we find in life. We may only get a glimpse at time, as the man did in his first one. We may only get a slight glimpse of what God is doing in that moment. But in the end, we will be able to clearly see what God has been up to and what God is doing. If you look back on your life, how many times have you wondered what God is doing in the middle of that moment? How many times have you wondered where God is at in the middle of the storm? Where you're like this blind man that you can't see what's right in front of you, yet you choose to believe that God has it under control and that he's making a way. And you start to get a glimpse of hope. You start to see little details, yet you don't fully understand. The people look like trees inside of that moment. Only for later in life, where you can look back and you can clearly see how God's hand had been at work through the entire process. And you can now see. And I believe the reason that God so often doesn't give us the big picture right away, when we go to him in prayer and we're begging God to show us, and he's only showing these little glimpses, the reason that I believe that he doesn't always show us everything that he has in store for our lives is because if we fully knew what God wanted to use each and every one of you for, if you understood the calling fully of what God has in store for your future, the hope and the joy, you would turn around running saying, there is no way. It is too much. I can't do that. There's no way. It would honestly scare some of us, if not most of us, if we could actually see what God wants to do with your life. If we could see that big picture. You know, when the disciples started to follow Jesus, they didn't fully understand who he was. They believed for him to be a prophet. They believed for him to be a rabbi. And they had hoped that he was the Messiah, but they didn't know for sure. They had this misunderstanding of what the Messiah would be and who it would be. And they didn't acknowledge him as the Messiah right away when they started following him, did they? They were like the blind man. They couldn't see everything that was going on right away. And through their time of walking with Jesus, and as they grew in relationship with him, more and more of him became available to them. And they begin to see more and more of who God is. It's often even in our relationship, we start off and we say, Jesus has forgiven me, he's given me this new life, and I have no idea what's coming next, but I'm just going to trust and follow through. And he slowly opens the doors and he shows us more and more of him as we go through the process. And it tells us after verse 27, after he healed the blind man, it tells us Jesus went out with his disciples to the village of Caesarea and Philippi. And on the road, he asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? The disciples answered him just like they would have answered him in the beginning when they first started following Jesus. In verse 28, it says, they answered him, John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others, one of the prophets. You know, the world around us has many opinions on who Jesus is. They had these opinions back then, just as they have them today. The disciples had these exact same opinions originally when their eyes were fully shut. But as they gained their relationship with Jesus, their eyes started to open and they started to see people that looked like trees. They started to see the process had begun and their eyes began to open. Yet they didn't fully understand yet. In 29, it says, "But you," he asked them, "who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." The disciples had gone through all of these moments and the stages in this process where they went from seeing Jesus as a prophet, a rabbi, to understanding that he is the Messiah himself. This was not something that happened overnight. This was a process of walking with Jesus to get to there. They understood that Jesus not only was the Messiah, he was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that he was the Son of God and that he was God himself. And as they spent more time with him, their eyes were open more and more. And yet Jesus understood that they didn't understand the big picture just yet. He tells us in verse 30, and he strictly warned them to tell no one about him. And he said this because they didn't understand the big picture yet. In this moment, the disciples were still hoping that Jesus would rise up and overthrow the Roman government. Who they wanted Jesus to be was not who Jesus was yet. But they knew enough to know that he was the Messiah himself. They didn't understand the suffering that had to happen. They didn't see the big picture of him come making a way where there was no way. And we see Jesus giving him another glance at what is to come. It says in verse 31, when he began to teach them that it was necessary for the Son of Man to suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, be killed and raised after 3 days. He began to tell them about the cross and what was coming. That it was necessary for him to suffer and be rejected. And he also made sure to point out that within 3 days he was going to overcome death and he was going to rise again. And this had to be an absolute shocker to the disciples inside of that moment to hear Jesus, the Messiah, the one they had been following, telling them that this is going to happen. That this is going to happen. And in fact, we know from verse 32 that this was too much for them. He spoke openly about this and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. When Peter heard, it was too much. He was telling Jesus, there ain't no way this is going to happen. There's no chance that we're going to let this be happen, that you would be killed by all of these people. You see, just like us, we don't always see the big picture. Peter did not see the big picture of why Jesus was here and what he was here to do. He didn't understand why they had to go through this. He didn't see the big picture of why it had to happen. He didn't trust the process on why it needed to happen. Jesus actually responds in verse 33. And he says, but turning around and looking at the disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You are not thinking about God's concerns, but human's concerns. And this is why I believe that God doesn't always show us everything up front, because we would respond like Peter did so often if we knew what was in front of us. If we knew the cost that we were going to bear by following after him, we would say absolutely no. That there's no way any of this is going to happen. If we saw the trials and tribulations in front of us, if we saw all the hardships of the path that we may have to walk, I don't know if we could say no. We would be like Peter, who didn't understand that on the other side of the cross was salvation. All he saw was the cross. All he saw was the turmoil. All he saw was the pain and the suffering. What he didn't understand is on the other side of the cross was salvation. That he had to walk through those hardships to be where God wanted him to be. And that Jesus had to do this for us. Sometimes we have to go through those hard situations to be put where God wants us. The The scripture tells us in Proverbs 14:12 that there is a way that seems right to a person, but an end is the way to death. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is the most deceitful thing than anything else and incurable. Who can understand it? I want us to think about that for a moment. We live in a world that tells us follow our hearts. We live in a world that tells us to do it our own way, that we need to do whatever makes us happy. But Jesus just points out in the scriptures here that what may seem right to us is not necessarily God's way. It warns us that our heart is the most deceitful thing. You know, when we come to Christ, he says he gives us a renewed mind. He gives us a new heart because he knows in the flesh we are fallen. And we will follow things that we want instead of what God wants from us. And that's the disciples as well. Jesus says in verse 34, calling the crowd along with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. He's saying inside of this moment, we need to set aside our own selfish ambition. We need to set aside what we feel and what we want. And we need to look to him and pick up our cross and follow him. To travel the road that's less traveled. Understanding that we may not see the big picture right away, but that God will provide it each and every step. Understanding that it's not about us, but it's all about him. That we're called to deny our heart's desires and to look to God who will give us a new heart and a new mind so that when we are following what we're feeling inside, we've got God's heart in us. In verse 35, he says, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me and the gospel will save it. When we do everything we can to keep our life here on earth the way that we desire, instead of God's desires, in the end, we actually lose our life. Instead of surrendering our lives to Jesus and allowing him to become Lord of our lives, it tells us that we gain nothing. Because it's not about us, it's about our Creator. It's about the one who paid it all. And Jesus finishes up in 36 to 38. Where he says, for what does it benefit someone to gain the whole world yet lose his life? What can anyone give in exchange for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes to the glory of his Father with the holy angels. We get everything, our heart's desires, and we still lose it all. When we work within our flesh, we lose everything. This life is but a fleeting moment compared to eternity. Jesus says that we need to stop trying to control our own destiny and let him control us. That he's the creator and the sustainer. He knows more about your life than you do. He knows the plans that he has for you, and he knows the directions that he has for you to go. But the question is, will you respond and allow him to guide you? Because he knows it all. You know, at the end, each one of us will face the judgment seat of God. Whether we're a believer or not, it doesn't matter. Every single person here on earth will one day stand in front of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we will have to face the judgment seat of God. Where we will give an account of everything that we've done in our lives. And in that moment, it doesn't matter what possessions you had. It doesn't matter what position you had here on earth. It doesn't matter how much money or anything else in wealth and power you had. None of that matters. What's going to matter is, did you have Jesus inside of you? Had you surrendered your life to him? Because when you're standing in front of God, that's the question that's going to be asked. It's not going to be asked on all the good stuff you did. It's not going to be asked about any of those. It's going to be simply, did you accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Or did you walk away from him and count it too high? Were you willing to pick up your cross and follow him? To lay your burdens at him and understand that he is in control and not us? Because the only thing that can save you inside of that moment is the blood of Christ and what he shed on the cross. I I want to challenge you with that this morning. Nothing else will matter. And that is one thing we're all promised, is one day we will stand in front of him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today. Father, we come with broken hearts and bended knees. Father, we come to you. Lord, we know that you're a merciful God. We know that you're a loving God who cherishes us, who wants to be in relationship with us. Father, Lord, I hand it to you. Father, you know who needs you. You know who needs to walk this out with you. That you've already made a way inside of that moment. Father, may we turn to you before it's too late, knowing that one day we will stand in front of you. Lord, may we trust the process. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, and that's something that you've been desiring, I want you to know it's a simple first step. I'm not going to ask you to come up front. But just say a simple prayer. Go to your Bible and allow him to actually rule. The prayer doesn't save you. It's the heart being turned over to him that does. Repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Father, I give you my life. I accept the free gift of salvation that Jesus bought and paid for on that cross. And my life is now yours. Pray that in Jesus' name. If you've said that this morning and you don't have a Bible or you want to go further, please see me, one of the elders, one of the deacons, about anybody here at the church, and we would love to have a further conversation of what that means, so that it's not just an experience with God, but it's the beginning of a beautiful relationship with him, one that'll take you places that you've never been before, that you will find peace and hope and joy unlike anything. And so that you too, when you stand in front of Jesus on Judgment Day, you get to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." God bless, guys.
Hallelujah.
sure does reign. I've read the end of the Bible. He wins. As you guys go out this week, I want to encourage you guys to search your hearts. Where are you at in the process with your walk with Jesus? Are you on a walk with Jesus? Or are you still doing things your own way? God bless. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.